Welcome, everyone. We're about to begin Shalom Bayis Shir number 516. Today, we're going to talk about the important concept in marriage not to mind read or assume you could read minds or make assumptions. And no matter how good your intuition may be, to not trust that intuition, even if it's very accurate, and nevertheless ask and inquire and get information. In the Ani Mamins, there's basically a concept of all the 13 Ani Mamins, and in one of them, it's based on the Pasuk, Hayotze Yachad Libam, HaMeven Al Kol Maaseihem. He fashions their hearts and he understands all their doings. In Tehillim, Kapitel Lamegimel, Pasuk Tesvav. This one principle is singled out. This is the backup of a pasuk on the Ani Mamins is only in this pasuk. And why is that so? Because it is the hardest of all the chalakim of Emunah to accept. It seems to be easier that to believe in Tchias HaMeisim than it is to believe that Hashem knows your thoughts. Why then should a person assume that other people are mind readers? Why should a husband and wife think that the other one knows what they want and there's no need to verbalize it? You should have known. Now, why should he or she have known if you didn't tell them? And the tricky part of this is for people who are married a long time. They're married 10, 20, 30, 40 years. Like, I know everything about them. You know, like in the palm of my hand, I know exactly everything, what makes them tick, and I know what's in their hearts and everything. Not true. You may know their external behaviors perfectly. It's been going on for a long time. But what they're actually thinking and feeling, very often when people go actually to therapy or to a Rav or to a mentor and they work things out with a third party there, husband and wife both surprised at what's inside the other person's heart and what they really feel. And the truth is that with healthy communication and proper skills, you don't have to wait until that point. You could work with each other to get to know each other well. It is true, as years progress, generally speaking, a husband and wife will get to know each other generally well, and well enough to know what they would generally like. But even then, there's going to be a lot of exceptions. They may surprise you, no matter how long you're married, and no matter how well you think you know the other person, it's still always wise to ask rather than assume. Doesn't make a difference if you're married for 20, 30, 40 plus years. It's better to ask than to assume. Especially in the early years of marriage, that goes without any question. So here's an anecdote that Rabbi Tversky brings down in his book. Tanchum was sure that Aviva would be ecstatic with earrings he bought for her birthday. Although he thanked him, Tanchum was disappointed that she was not as enthusiastic as he had expected. Several weeks later, she said, "Those earrings will always be special to me because you bought them, but I don't wear them because they're not my taste." Now, if Tanchum had said, "I wanted to surprise you with earrings on your birthday, but I'm not sure what you'd like, how about you coming along with me to choose what you want?" Aviva would have been even more appreciative. By the way, this is in general is a good Eitza Tova when it comes to birthday gifts to give one each other or anniversary gifts or whatever it may be, that while it is true that surprises is a beautiful way of giving gifts, like an unexpected vacation, an unexpected gift, if you know bevados, let's say your husband or wife expressed they always wanted this, they always wanted something like this, and exactly that way, and you know what it is, and you surprise them as a surprise, that's a beautiful thing. But very often when it comes to gift giving and those type of things, it's not that clear that they really want it exactly that way. And in those cases, even though normally it's traditionally people like to give surprises, it's better to approach directly your husband or wife. Your birthday's coming up. I want to treat you nicely. I want to show my appreciation for you or our anniversary. And I was thinking about this. What would you think? Especially when it comes to jewelry or it comes to certain things that the husband likes and doesn't like, to tell each other that. I want to, you know, so the element of surprise is not there. So in one way, you're going to say that's going to take away from the, you know, joy of the receiving of it, you know, and the pleasure of it, like not surprised, because it is a wonderful thing when you don't expect something, and then you get that something that you always wanted. It brings a tremendous simcha. So, but that's only, again, if you're 100% sure, and it was described, that's what they really want exactly. But in many cases, with wedding and anniversary gifts and things like that, it's better to ask, what would you like? You know, and that really, then they get what they really want, and they truly appreciate it. Don't assume also that words mean the same thing to him as to her. They could mean different things to different people. Here's another anecdote that Rabbi Tversky brings down in his book. The first few weeks after they were married, Ari and Dina alternated Shabbos with their respective parents. The first Shabbos they were alone after Havdalah, Ari said that Mati, who's my younger brother is coming over from Malama Malka. A bit later, when he did not see Dina around, he went up to the bedroom, and Dina was crying in the bedroom. So Ari asked Dina, what happened? Why are you crying? And Dina cried, and she said to her husband, Ari, you didn't tell me that you were inviting anyone from Malama Malka. I didn't prepare anything. I don't have anything in the house to serve. And Ari said, prepare? What do you need to prepare for? For Malama Malka, we have a piece of challah here. We have a piece of leftover fish from Shabbos and coffee, whatever it is. And then Dina wipes away her tears and says, that's all it is. And so that's okay. I thought we were serving like a party. So you see, here there was a misunderstanding, because in Dina's homes, when friends came over to Malama Malka, her mother served a full course dinner. It was a whole big shebang, the Malama Malka. So the words Malama Malka for Dina triggered one thing. A full course meal with a whole entire, meal to full extent. But to Ari, Malama Malka means something else. Just chop a little piece of cake, a little piece of fish, a bagel, and then finished. So it meant one thing to Ari, and it meant a totally different thing to Dina. They spoke different languages. So this resulted, by this misunderstanding of language, Dina thought that Ari was being very inconsiderate. How could you not tell me in advance that you're inviting your brother from Malama Malka when I have nothing in the house and I have to prepare all this stuff and I can't because it's right after Shabbos and I don't have anything? How could you do that? How inconsiderate could you be? And the truth is, Ari should have told Dina that he was asking his brother to come to Malama Malka, but because it was trivial to him, he neglected to do so. But again, the neglect was not because of maliciousness. It's just that it's trivial, because he knew his brother, all he needs is a piece of challah and some cream cheese or lox or whatever it is, and he's done. So that incident was not a catastrophe, cleared up quickly. But sometimes the understanding and words can be more deeper and with more serious things. To remember this yisoid, misunderstandings can be avoided by just asking the question, what do you mean by that? And ask. Don't assume. It's important always to remember that two people can look at the same thing and see it differently. We grew up in different households, with different customs, with different values. During the early years of marriage, husbands and wives should not assume they see things the same way. The truth is, even later in marriage, because we're sometimes blind to it and we assume we think the same way. Meanwhile, sometimes a husband and a wife, each one is resigned. They're not happy about something. They swallow it and they follow a certain custom of whatever it is. I'm not talking about minhagim now of, real minhagim, but just following whatever they normally do in the house. Wife just does it because the husband, it seems that he's happy with it and she's not thrilled with it. And they owe years doing that. In the meantime, a simple communication, the wife says, I'm not thrilled about doing it this way. Maybe I could do it another way. And you never know. Husband could say, if you really feel that way, sure, try it your way. Problem solved. Anxiety lifted. So that's very, very important to understand that some things may have one meaning for one person and a different meaning for another person. So for example, here's an example. A man may feel that a new laptop computer should be a priority item in the family's budget. The wife doesn't understand this. Why is it so important? There's nothing wrong with the old laptop. But you see, it's not a matter of functionality. For him, for the husband, The state-of-the-art laptop means something to him in and of itself. I have that high laptop. It may be, you may consider that a shtus, an ego thing, but in certain things, it's not so unhealthy that he feels good about it, just like some people want to buy a higher level car. If they can afford it, they're not going above their means, and they're not being ostentatious. They just want a certain type of model. It costs $200 extra, whatever it is. It's not a, you know, you could say, it's a shtus, but sometimes it's important to a person. They feel they need that. But here, the wife doesn't understand it. Why do you need a new laptop? Your old laptop is working perfectly. Similarly, a man may not understand his wife. You why don't you want to wear that beautiful dress to a family wedding just because you wore it to other family weddings? What's the big deal? So for him, the laptop was a ego item for him. For her, the clothing is an ego item for her. So, we're not talking about someone who only has one dress and wears that for every simcha that could be, you know, very uncomfortable. I'm talking about, you know, has a few, but switches things around and they are sensitive, like it's a crime to wear the same thing twice. So they need to understand at least why they value things and the way they view things, even if the other one doesn't fully get it. So the key is that even if you fail to understand why something is important, it's necessary to realize that it is important to your husband. It is important for your wife, and that reason alone is enough to say, I'm willing to accommodate. I'm at least willing to work through to help accommodate. So that he writes at the end of this chapter one line, I cannot emphasize enough the importance of giving each other latitude. Do not interpret, do not jump to conclusions. And then he writes in bold, he printed it bold, ask, do not assume. This is interesting that he does this, that he decided in the typing to make this bold, these four words, ask, do not assume. This is true no matter how much of a pikeach you think you are. Or like we learned in the Sunday Shiurim when we had the series of HSP. I'm a highly sensitive person, or I'm an empath. I see through people. So I know what they feel. And there is a lot of truth to that. They sense a lot more than more people feel. But nevertheless, especially HSPs and empaths, listen, you may have great intuition, but no matter how great it is, it doesn't replace the concept of direct communication. No matter how good your intuition is, you may be off, and often you will be off. Sometimes Hashem puts in a matzav in your life where Hashem is telling you, when you have no choice, you can't ask a person, you can't clarify something, and on the spot you have to make decisions. So Hashem says, I'm going to give you siyata d'shmaya, and you'll use your intuition without asking to help you navigate the situation and to make things good. But in a case where it's a one-on-one relationship, could be friendship, work association, whatever it may be, but especially in marriage, where no matter how deep you understand the other person, no matter how sharp you are with your intuition, it can never replace direct communication. You have to ask, do not assume. And that is a tremendous insight in marriage that will also save a lot of Agmas Nefesh and bring a lot of closer communication with each other. I'm not going to get into it now, but I always bring it up. The same applies with intimate life and the sexual experience between the two. Ask, do not assume. Express, do not assume. Do not assume, and if you have open, healthy communication with one another of what is liked and what is not liked, and what they feel about things, and so on, that experience could be enhanced 10 times more than it is now because of that open communication of not assuming things. You may not know that your husband or wife is not thrilled about something or very, you know, reluctant about certain things being done or not being done. By basic communication, the other one will right away say, sure, let's, we'll work it this way. We'll try this thing. We will help, you know, And by doing that, all that like assumptions and resentments go away. So it's important in that area of life. It's important in all areas of married life. Ask, do not assume. Bracha v'atzlacha.